To, da ti vladajo, pomeni,
da te nadzirajo,
opazujejo,
indoktrinirajo,
pridigajo,
ocenjujejo,
presojejo,
cenzurirajo
in ukazujejo ljudje,
ki nimajo za to ne pravice, ne znanja, ne vrline.
Da ti vladajo, pomeni, da si
registriran,
popisan,
obdavčen,
označen,
patentiran,
odpuščen,
preprečevan,
reformiran,
kaznovan.
Pomeni tudi, da si pod pretvezo javne koristi in splošnega interesa
dresiran,
ogoljufan,
izkoriščan,
monopoliziran,
izsiljevan,
izžeman,
varan,
okraden. Pri najmanjšem znaku odpora ali ugovoru
te zatrejo,
kaznujejo,
zaničujejo,
nadlegujejo,
preganjajo,
zmerjajo,
potolčejo,
razorožijo,
zadušijo,
zaprejo,
ustrelijo,
obsodijo,
preženejo,
žrtvujejo,
prodajo,
izdajo
in da bi bila mera polna, te še smešijo, slepijo, sramotijo in onečastijo.
Črna luknja!
Pozdravljeni, z vami je oddaja Črna luknja, anarhistični glas na Radiu Študent. Nocoj se bomo v uvodnem delu dotaknili dveh dogodkov preteklega tedna. Stavka javnega sektorja in protesta proti varčevalnim ukrepom, ki je potekal dan za stavko. Protest, ki ga je pripravilo gibanje 15O in je nosil naslov Absolutno zavračamo, je opozarjal na težave tistih, ki so že zdaj izključeni iz socialne države. V tem duhu bomo nadaljevali tudi v srednjem delu. Gostili bomo Davida, s katerim se bomo pogovarjali o prekernosti. Za začetek pa, kot že rečeno, o stavki in protestu absolutno zavračamo.
Po Evropi straši kriza, pošasti z omare, ki je odlično opravičilo za plenilski ples kapitala. Bolj vdanemu vlade že sprejemajo varčevalne ukrepe, ki močno posegajo v socialne pravice in ljudi potiskajo v popolno bedo. Kar se danes dogaja v Grčiji, se bo že jutri drugod po Evropi. Grafit, ki je nastal v Atenah med nemiri leta 2008, mi smo podoba iz prihodnosti, dobi v današnjem času srhljiv prizvok. Varčevanja, v maniri dobre gospodinje, se razume, se je lotila tudi slovenska vlada. Z ukrepi, ki posegajo na številna področja, naj bi premagali krizno leto ali dve. Da bodo ti ukrepi ostali, nihče ne pove. O nujnosti varčevanja nihče ne dvomi. Zdi se, da je sprejet družbeni konsenz o tem, da smo živeli preko svojih zmožnosti. Mnenja se krešajo zgolj o tem, kdo je ta, ki mora plačati račune za lagodno življenje v preteklosti. Vlada pravi, da vsi, sindikati pa kažejo s prstom na požrešne kapitalske in politične elite. Napovedanim varčevalnim ukrepom so se najprej uprli javni uslužbenci. Z enodnevno stavko so opozorili, da se ne nameravajo tako zlahka odpovedati v preteklosti izbojevanim delavskim in socialnim pravicam. Protesti so v sredo 18. aprila potekali v vseh večjih mestih po Sloveniji. V Ljubljani se ga je udeležilo približno 10 tisoč ljudi. Vlada se je poslužila stare, a učinkovite strategije deli in vladaj in z opaskami o stavkajočih kot o tistih, ki jih ukrepi sploh ne bodo prizadeli, skuša spreti med sabo različne skupine delavstva. Nastrojenost ljudstva proti javnemu sektorju pa je tako ali tako pregovorna. Vendarle pa je iluzorno pričakovati, da se bo zmanjševanje delavskih pravic končalo pri javnem sektorju. Kmalu se lahko zgodi, da bodo nove kolektivne pogodbe zahtevali še delodajalci v gospodarstvu, v imenu zmanjševanja stroškov dela, seveda. Če lahko delavci v javnem sektorju delajo več za manj denarja in si stroške poti v službo krijejo iz svoje plače, zakaj ne bi tega zmogli še ostali? Gospodarstvo je vendarle potrebno razbremeniti in kje drugje se lahko varčuje kot pri stroških dela. Z Zavedati se moramo še ene razsežnosti vladnih načrtov. S krčenjem financiranja javnih, vsem dostopnih storitev se široko odpirajo vrata za privatizacijo le-teh. To pa naenkrat ne zadeva zgolj lenega birokrata z regresom in božičnico, temveč nas vse. Enoten nastop proti varčevalnim ukrepom je zato v teh razmerah nujen. Dan po največji stavki v zadnjih letih se je zgodil precej manjši protest proti varčevalnim ukrepom. Povezal je številne posameznike, ki so spoznali, da jih napovedano varčevanje zadeva prav tako kot delavce v javnem sektorju in so svojo formo organiziranja našli drugje, izven sindikatov. Ti svojo retoriko branjenja obstoječih delavskih pravic žal ne naslavljajo problemov, s katerimi se soočajo vedno večje množice. Na protestu smo slišali zgodbe kulturnih delavcev, ki jim vladna uredba o prepovedi sklepanja avtorskih pogodb v javnih zavodih jemlje velik del dohodka. Tam so bili starši, združeni pod transparentom Moms Wars, socialni delavci in delavke, ki se vsakodnevno srečujejo s stiskami ljudi, prekerni delavci in delavke, pa tudi redno zaposleni, če bi bili cinični, bi rekli privilegirani posamezniki, ki so prepoznali nujo po glasnem nasprotovanju razgradnji družbene solidarnosti in divjaškemu pohodu kapitala. Protestniki so izrazili nestrinjanje z varčevalnimi ukrepi, ki močno posegajo v socialno državo. Hkrati pa je bilo moč slišati zahteve po novih socialnih pravicah. Ne po vračanju v preteklost, v zlato dobo državne blaginje, ki za nekatere tako ali tako ni obstajala, temveč po premišljanju o novih oblikah solidarnosti in vključevanju tistih, ki so že brez varčevalnih ukrepov, brez vsega, prepuščeni na milost in nemilost trgu. Naša sedanjost, kaj šele prihodnost, je negotova in brez medsebojnega prepoznanja in gradnje skupne fronte za radikalne družbene spremembe bo, kot kaže, postala prihodnost vseh.
There's the physical structure within which one lives, such as a house, a dwelling place with the social unit that occupies it, a household, an environment offering security and happiness, a valued place, a native habitat, a place where something is discovered, founded, developed, or promoted, a source, a headquarters, a home base, all relating to a team's place of origin. On or into the point from which something is directed to the center or the heart.
In the street around some real wild brothers with more than one name and more than one baby mother, more than one kinsman on more than one run, got more than one enemy and more than one gun. One what now? All of this left to want is more. Why them cats who's less privileged is just more raw. Less space cause the project laced with more floors, less sleep cause the nights ain't peace, is more war. The cannons roar like thirsty rainy season thunderclaps on the block where your old pop play the number at, to the spot with the red top means it's huddled at, to the crib where the little kids spend they summer trap with the children. Lions and tigers, leopards and cheetahs, for gazelles you get chased like a zebra. They blaze sheba sheba and dominate the weaker on the street. Hungry bellies only love what they eat, and it's hard to compete when they smiling with your heart and they teeth, and the odds is stacked high beyond and beneath. Son, I've been plenty places in my life and time, and regardless where home is, son, home is mine.
We all got to have
been in this world,
some place that we come from, this place where we come from is called home.
So many places I go,
we set out on our travels,
been in this
we
world.
Do the best we can, we travel this big earth and we roam.
Some people live in
Atlanta.
Some people got to live
Chicago.
And some people do live
Miami.
And all my people doing that now.
California.
And other people got to live.
London.
And everybody got to live in the whole big world. Together, just you and me. When I think of home, my remembrance of my beginning. Laundromat helping Marduk fold the bed linen. Chilling from my building with my brother and them. Spending nights in Bushwick with my cousins and them. Wild style and Beach Street, Federal Relief slowly melting in the morning. Grits we used to eat,
right?
Sticking to your teeth, and teeth is hard to keep with every flavor. Now or later, only a dime a piece. Old timers on the bench playing cards and things. Telling tears about they used to be involved in things. Start the drinking, talking loud, cussing up and showing out. Get the phone, call the cops, pick them up, move them out. And it's all too common to start wildin'. I'm a pirate on the island, seeking treasure known as silence, and it's hard to find. Block parties and dark lobbies. Funeral homes packed with only dark bodies. I can't sleep, Molly stirred up like Bob Marley. Molly Mall played the symphony, memory recalls. So I've been to many places in my space and time. And whatever my home is, son, home is mine.
We all got to have some place that we come from. This place that we come from is called home.
So many places I go.
We set out on our travels. We do the best we can.
And do the best
we travel this big earth that we roam.
Kot rečeno, se bomo v srednjem delu pogovarjali o prekernosti. Ta namen se nam je pridružil David, prekerni delavec, študent in pa del inicijative Prekerni usir. Hello, David.
Hello.
First, I would like to know something about this precarious wasp nest, this initiative Prekerni usir. What are you doing? What was the process which led to this precarious wasp nest?
This was a process that for me personally started on the 14th of October when we launched the 15-0 movement through a teach-in on the Nova Ljubljanska Banka, where we started to discuss the situation of financial capitalism and the violence of financial capitalism and the expropriation and financialization of our lives through our personal narratives and our personal stories. Then we, as the movement continued on the 15th of October and beyond with the occupation of Boisa, we opened a workshop on Boisa, which was called the Workshop Against Precarity and for Commonwealth. And this workshop attempted to really examine what precarity meant today and what we meant with this term. But in some ways, it was still remaining in a rather abstract way when it was discussing these terminologies. So what happened then with Prekerni usir, which, you know, is really not defined as a political subjectivity yet, but is more just a process and at a point of research at this time, it emerged out of this sort of dissatisfaction that some of us experienced with the discourse within academia and even in 15-0 around precarity. It came really out of this desire to have the forum which took these narratives and understood them by really dissecting and diluting them a little bit to find some of the common elements within these narratives. We then opened a blog, which was the initial point of collecting these stories. But we meet basically on a weekly basis, and the process at this point is really to continue the conversation around the narratives that have started with our personal stories.
Okay, you were mentioning these personal stories, and how does precarity affect you as individual? Could you say that precarity is specific situation of just a few or a certain group of people, or is it like wider, broader process?
Well, it's certainly, as we are defining it and as we are starting to understand it, I think through the process of the discussions and the analysis we're making in the Wasp Nest, that it's really a much, much broader tendency. It's not something that we want to attach to specific categories in labor or in anything else. But there's really just a lot of different manifestations of precarity that don't necessarily always relate to a workspace or necessarily not being able to access certain resources. I think if you look at my situation, for example, with a high level of student debt, and that this was a debt which I had to take because it was for the education which I really needed, but I didn't have, you know, the personal wealth or the family to cover this debt. So, you know, there you have this precarity through the privatization of knowledge and education. But, you know, we also understand precarity as something which occurs in labor, as something which really comes down to the question of people not being able to satisfy their needs. And when we also understand the circumstances at the moment, especially with this question of austerity, which is you know, being applied all across Europe and even here in Slovenia, of course for many precarians austerity starts something that started a long time ago, but you know, you understand this broadening tendency because the effect of austerity is of course that it's going to privatize a lot, and in the process of privatization the access is then redefined as something which you have to pay for or defined along new lines anyway, which increases the precarity of people regardless of their personal situation.
Last week there was one of the biggest trade union strikes in Slovenia in last years. But it seemed to me, and maybe to other people, that these big unions don't have answers to this new situation, whether on labor market or in personal lives. They don't have answer to precarious positions of more and more people. Their fight is focused on preserving workers' rights, demanding new ones. Do you have any answer to that?
Yeah, I think that it's, you know, it's important that we don't make a really hard division here with the unions as something which isn't relevant anymore. Of course, the unions remain relevant in the sense of the demographic that they do represent, and those are the workers that aren't necessarily precarious, let's say, in the way in which, you know, those without contracts or those who have unvalorized labor are. I think the point with the labor unions, what needs to really happen is that there needs to be a shift perhaps in moving out of this perhaps traditional paradigm of demanding specific rights that are really based around the workspace. So, you know, just health insurance, better working conditions, wages, and so on. Because this really doesn't address the broad definition of precarity that, as I said earlier, really goes beyond the traditional labor demands and the traditional labor context. So, I don't know, in some sense, there needs to be perhaps some kind of a democratization process that really helps the unions sort of bypass just being attached to working spaces and institutions. Because, you know, even within some of these workspaces and institutions, people are still being excluded from the unions. People whose contract may be owned by somebody else or who have a temporary part-time contract are simply not welcome in the unions. And so I think that there needs to be a process in which the unions open up to finding ways to incorporate a much broader definition, let's say, of people.
Okay, but besides the unions, what would be a perspective of organizing precarious workers? Let's say if those people can't be members of unions, if they're isolated on their workspace, they work at home, or I don't know, they have really individualized working space. What do you see as possibility of organizing such people, precarious people?
And I think that's really it's a good question, because that's definitely the challenge that lies ahead. At this point, specifically to organizing the new struggle, let's say, I think where we are now, and you see this a little, or this is at least my perspective of what the meetings on the Wasp Nest, on the Pequeño Sir are, and we also now have started a sort of collective office or collective working space, which is one thing which, you know, addresses some needs and so on. But what we have with the Wasp Nest and this common workspace is a point in which you have people coming together to start to collect the narratives and to analyze and elaborate the conditions that I was speaking about before. So this is the process of research, you know, and I think we're still really there, and we've started to understand some of the needs that are common, of course not for everybody, but for some of us, and this is, you know, where the idea of a common workspace came from. And from there, I think that's the point when you start to think about how do you define a new form of struggle in this context? Because, you know, you need to understand perhaps what are the needs before you can really open these new forms of struggle. It's obviously a real challenge because, you know, we don't have the traditional workspace. But I think the question here perhaps is to think about, you know, the strike doesn't work for us, but we still have to understand the basic point of the strike, which was somehow how to achieve the disruption of the flow of capital. And that still needs to be achieved. I think that's what we need to do. But of course, for us, it's going to have to be in a completely different form. So at this point, that's what lies ahead. And we have to understand that, of course, we too can be bad motherfuckers, and we can really achieve these forms of resistance and these forms of strikes. But it's still a process which is ahead of us.
Okay. Thank you, David. Good luck with organizing.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for the interview.
Thank you.
The spirit of the people is more powerful than a man's technology. And when people recognize their power, the power to say no, the power to say enough, the power to say, well, damn it, let's get together and change this thing, then anything is possible.
If we want to eat Ta četrtek, 26. aprila, bo v klubu Gromka in v Infoshopu na Metelkovi potekal že 11. Antifa festival. Z nami pa imamo Jadrana, enega izmed organizatorjev. Torej, na začetku bi te povprašal, če lahko poslušalkam in poslušalcem na kratko predstaviš dogajanje na letošnjem Antifa festivalu.
To leto bomo imeli celodnevni program in sicer se bo začelo ob 4 v klubu Gromke. Začeli bomo s filmskim programom. Prvi film bo Sanje črno-bele Maurice. To je en amaterski mladinski video prispevek boju proti diskriminaciji. Nadaljevali bomo ob 16.45 s filmom Noise and Resistance. To je novejši dokumentarec od lani, ki predstavlja punk muziko in punk gibanje. Temu bo sledile okrogle mize v Infoshopu, predstavili se bomo zgore in ob 16.30 bomo začeli s prvo okroglo mizo o fašistične težnje v zdravstvu in družbi, ki tako zdravstvo omogoča. Uršura Lipovec, Čebron in Tanja Kovačič nam bojo natančne predstavili to problematiko. In pol bo še drugo okroglo mizo ob 8.15, to bo specizem. Marko Čenčur nam bo povedal nekaj več o mitih uživanja mesa in veganska inicijativa bo predstavila različne pristope boja znotraj gibanja za pravice živali. Vmes bo hrana ne bombe, to se bo začelo ob 16. tako da vabljen še na pojedino. In zvečer od 10. naprej bo koncert v Gromki. Igrali bojo Kurva aparate iz Avstralije. Imamo dva ameriška benda, Kateter in Streetwalker in Aktivno propagando, katero si dobro znam.
Se pravi, Antifa festival, čeprav razumem, se po dvoletnem predahu zopet vrača v nedarje Metelkove. V bistvu me zanima, zakaj ste se odločili ponovno oživeti ta dogodek in oziroma kaj vas je gnalo k temu?
Zato, ker živimo v družbi, katera je daleč od idealne. Različne fašistične težnje, mislim, vidimo, se susrečimo z njimi v vsakdanjem življenju, non-stop. In fora je tudi, da če hočeš kaj narediti, samo organizacija rešitev in vzameš to v svoje roke in narediš sam. Če hočeš kaj narediti, se spraviš in to narediš.
Mogoče obstaja še kakšna spletna stran, kjer bi se lahko prebrali podrobnejši program?
Ja, če hočeš bolj podrobno, si lahko gledate na internetni strani od Gromke ali od Infoshopa.
To je bilo vse v današnji oddaji. Vabljeni na Antifa Fest v četrtek na Metelkovi, mi pa se slišimo čez 14 dni. Živjo!
What's a revolution to you? To kill their bosses and take their money.
Revolution! Revolution!
Dobro jebate, kak ti možeš u jednoj demokratskoj državi dizat narod na ustanak?